You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. A bill that is intended to lower the risk of someone being inadvertently jabbed with a discarded used medical needle has been signed into law by Governor Brad Little. Little signed that legislation about 2 weeks ago, which will allow groups to start a syringe and needle exchange program here in Idaho. Supporters of this new law, which will take effect July 1, say they will reduce the risk of people coming into contact with discarded needles, and it will also reduce the chance of illegal drug users catching diseases from dirty needles. However, opponents argue needle exchange programs could encourage illegal drug use. Well, joining me live in studio to talk more about this are Amy Shipman with Idaho's Department of Health and Welfare and Dr. Zach Weiss with Family Medicine Residency of Idaho. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you.
Okay, I want to start out easy. Explain exactly what a needle exchange program is, because these happen in other communities across the nation.
Sure, yeah. So a needle exchange program is basically a place where people can bring in used needles and dispose of them safely so they don't get thrown into trash cans or end up in other places where people could end up encountering them. So ideally reducing the risk that sanitation workers get stuck with needles when disposing of trash, or if they end up in parks, kids getting poked with needles in places like that.
So this is the ability to bring these needles to a place, discard them, no questions asked.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Amy, why is something like that important?
Well, from the public health standpoint, there are several reasons. First of all, to stem the opportunity for disease transmission that can happen with reusing syringes. Secondly, there is a lot of evidence to suggest that that there is a stronger likelihood of referral to treatment from syringe services entities than, just from pamphlets or brochures, from distributing those. And then lastly, I would like to point to what Zach mentioned, just the opportunity for safe disposal of syringes.
And when we say needle exchange, does that mean if someone brings in a dirty needle, do they exchange it for a clean needle, or is this just about disposing of the needle?
Yeah, it's both, I think. And I think there's different programs across the country that probably do things a little bit differently. I'm from New Mexico and worked as a harm reduction specialist in a clinic as a needle exchange. And in that program, patients would bring in their used needles and we would give them clean needles. And so sometimes patients didn't have any needles, but they needed needles to use use safely. And therefore, we'd be able to provide a small amount as well.
Will that be how Idaho's law works, or do we know that yet?
We don't really know that yet. You know, this is, we're still, the law is only a couple weeks old, and we are doing a lot of information gathering right now. We have talked with other states, including New Mexico and Utah, that oversee syringe services programs within their state. And, we're looking at other examples. So we're definitely looking at input from stakeholders and hoping to build a large group of stakeholders, hopefully including Zach, and, see what the input, what the feedback is from communities on that.
I'm speaking with Amy Shipman with the Idaho's Department of Health and Welfare and Dr. Zach Weiss with Family Medicine Residency of Idaho. We're talking about a needle exchange program that will go into effect as law in Idaho. On July 1, Governor Brad Little signed the legislation about 2 weeks ago. So when we talk about a needle exchange program, we've seen in other communities that it lowers even HIV rates, correct?
Well,
There's
a potential. So one example that I can relay, I was at a conference last summer and listening to colleagues from other states talk about their syringe services intervention programs. And in particular, in Rhode Island, they talked about implementing a sort of a backpack-based program for syringe services and delivering those out into the community. And that during the past year in which that program had been implemented, they had seen a reduced incidence of HIV and hepatitis C transmission in injection drug users.
So blood-borne diseases in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Zach, as you said, you worked in Albuquerque. You have hands-on experience, knowledge of a program like this. Talk to me about what you saw and what worked.
Yeah. So This program was actually housed inside of a medical clinic, which was a perfect environment to get patients plugged in and get to access to medical care. And so patients would come in, bring in their old needles, and we'd be able to provide new needles. We'd be able to provide containers for them to store those needles in so they were stored in a safe place. And then we were also able to supply other supplies to help them inject safely, like sterile water and tourniquets and cookers. Mm-hmm. And in addition, that was an opportunity to provide education. So we would talk to patients about how their injection practices, how they were injecting, and help them do it in a safer way. Because the other risk, of course, not only the viral bloodborne infections, but it's also bacterial infections that occur locally at the skin, abscesses and cellulitis, and then also infections that get into the blood and can cause infection on the heart valves, endocarditis, or form an abscess inside the body and get patients really sick. And so we talk about education in terms of injecting safely. We would be able to test them in the clinic for hepatitis C, for hepatitis B, for HIV, and also talk about things like rescue breathing and overdose situations and how to avoid those situations. Mm-hmm. And one of the other things there, too, is we were able to dispense Narcan, which is a medication that is an opioid overdose reversal medicine that then allows time for emergency services to arrive and help patients in those situations.
And as you mentioned earlier in this interview, it's also an opportunity to talk to people about maybe rehab or things like that.
Absolutely, yeah. Assessing their readiness to quit. I mean, this is an opportunity to establish a therapeutic relationship with these mm-hmm. patients, to reach out and help them. People who probably haven't had a whole lot of people reach out when they're in different situations, and being able to provide general access resources for medical care, for social work, and getting them plugged in with medication assisted treatment like Suboxone if they're ready. So it's I think a really great place to really check in and see how we can help.
And I know opponents, and this is not just in Idaho, we hear this across the country, that if we put these needle exchange programs in place, all we are doing is allowing for more people to use illegal drugs and that the numbers will go up. I cannot imagine that there is anyone that you came in contact with in Albuquerque that wanted to continue this lifestyle.
Yeah, I think, you know, the majority of patients that I talked to, they wanted to quit. They were ready to quit. Some weren't ready to do it right at that time, but they were all, a lot of them were in a place where they knew they didn't want to continue to do what they were doing. It's hard on their body. It's hard on their lives. And so it was a great place to kind of get the ball rolling to help them come up with a plan to do that.
Amy, how do we implement this then in our state? I mean, I would think it would take funds and, you know, clinics, organizations that would be willing to house these programs. And we have to have it across the state.
That's true, Gemma. So our plan now, our next steps are really to gather information. We are looking to communities. We are looking to stakeholders that we've identified at this point in time, which right now, this is not an extensive list, but we're looking at agencies that work with homeless populations, substance abuse and mental health providers. We're looking at law enforcement. I think law enforcement will be really critical as a stakeholder to engage in this process. And we really want to, you know, gather a group of people together who can help us engage communities so that they can buy in.
Is this a good thing?
Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
Do you think we will see more people potentially being able to go into rehab to get help if this program is put in place, which it will be July 1?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think finding ways to reach out to populations who are using injection drugs and being able to help them and find ways to help them and really meet them where they're at to find ways to get them what they need, it would absolutely be beneficial.
And you saw that firsthand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking more about this, an important topic to be discussing.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. My guest today, Amy Shipman with the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare, and Dr. Zach Weiss with Family Medicine Residency of Idaho. Again, thanks for the conversation.
Thanks.
Thank you.